This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin the Wednesday edition. VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross here, downtown Las Vegas at Circus Sports. He is our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Jensen, you know, we talk about the dog days of summer. How about baseball yesterday? Holy mackerel, did we get some excitement on the diamond. So a lot of baseball talk today. Before we get to highlights and headlines, we saw a lot of comebacks yesterday, right? We saw the Reds were down 3-0 against the Yanks. We saw the Braves were down 3-0 against my Metropolitans. The Padres were down 3-0 last night. A lot of comebacks here in late June. So, Jensen, maybe a precursor for some hot summer baseball. No lead is safe, at least it wasn't last night.
Did we have any home run parlays hit yesterday? or are all the books limiting everything?
Lights came on.
Or at least
on.
Some of them.
Yeah, lights came okay. On behind me when I walked in today. So I think Derek and the boys did okay yesterday.
It's not even about that. There are just some places that, how shall we say, Dave, just do not do business the right way. Like, again, there's going to be wins. There's going to be losses. I'm also with Jeffrey Benson. Let me be on record that, hey, when you make a bet, especially on a player prop, and that player gets hurt early.
That's right.
Hey, that's a hang with them, man. Welcome to the big leagues. Welcome to big time, big boy, big girl betting here. Like, there's no charity. So, you know, good on him. And again, win some, lose some, as Paulie likes to say. But we could see some balls traveling again here this afternoon.
Yeah, that's such a weird thing in our space, right? Everybody begging for refunds. And I always do it jokingly with Jeffrey, like, hey, you know, if the Mets came up just a couple runs short, can I have my wager back? No. Like, that's not how this all works, people. So realize when you make, that's the inherent risk of playing some of these overs and or to, you know, get these hits. Guys get hurt. And you're out of the game. Sometimes that's the way it breaks. I will say the other stuff that's going on about maybe voiding bets that actually do win, another story for different sportsbooks. That is a very interesting look out there. Great show lineup here on this Wednesday. Nate Hornung's going to join us here in the beginning of hour number two. He is a betting news senior writer, so can't wait to catch up with Nate. Jordan Sherwood going back to Chicago 2 days in a row. We had the bully, Ricardo Lamas, on. Now, Jordan is a much calmer guy than Ricardo. He does not get inside the octagon. He'll tell you who's going to win when he observes the octagon. So Jordan's going to join us. Alana Rizzo is going to join us from D.C. as she likes to break down the Nationals. So we'll see how the Nats, so far so good, I think, on this young season. Maybe a little bit of expectations or hoping for a little bit better. Certainly a breakout star there. And then our Wednesdays with Wes Reynolds. What's going to happen at the Rocket Classic up in Detroit as that begins tomorrow, and a good chance for some guys to grab some FedEx Cup points and or make their case for the Ryder Cup team. But right now, let's get to it, our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
You never get a second chance to make a first impression. Woo! Chase Burns. We talked about him a lot in the program yesterday. Jensen, he did not disappoint. The over-under for K's was 4.5. Hope you layered it. Up to 8 in his Major League debut. Gets a no decision. Reds do come back and win an extras 5-4 to take the first two against the now struggling Bronx Bombers. But I think the story here really is Chase Burns. And we were texting about it in real time. I know you were looking at this thing, Jensen. You had to be kind of blown away by what you saw from the kid, didn't you?
And first and foremost, you know, we talked about, you know, potential strikeout parlays yesterday, and I always for the first start just kind of want to observe, and it's a whole different jump from AAA to Major League Baseball and facing hitters, especially in that environment. Last night, I was on with Mitch and Matty Humans yesterday on Follow the Money, and Matty asked me, you know, what kind of a line would you see or envision from Chase Burns for this game? And I said, you know, I could see around 4 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs, you know, 4 or 5 strikeouts. Well, he took care of the strikeouts early. His first 6 outs he has as a big leaguer are all via the swing and miss. And so that was impressive in its own right. And then as you see big league hitters adjust, Dave, in real time, they're able to put up a 3 spot on him. But outside of that, I think the biggest news is that Chase Burns, and we got him at 20 to 1 to win National League Rookie of the Year. He's down in some places to plus 350.
Woo.
Second betting choice to a man we're going to talk about later on in the show, Jacob Mizorowski, for National League Rookie of the Year. I'll check here in just a moment to see what the price is now on DraftKings. Yeah, he's actually at plus 390, so he's a third betting option here on DraftKings for National League Rookie of the Year. But you're right, what a first impression. He's got some Hunter Green to him as far as the exploding fastball, but he's certainly his own man. And that stuff was very, very impressive last night.
Five innings, six hits, three runs, all earned, no walks. That's kind of one of those takeaways that I look at too, right? Like, he challenged these guys. You and I talked about it yesterday. I said, what's the advice? What do you give him when you see Aaron Judge? And you said, go at him. And he went at these guys. He's going to get got sometimes like he did yesterday. But also those eight Ks in five innings. Pretty exciting, I think, for the Reds. And by the way, don't look now, Cincinnati's starting to play some pretty good baseball. Four games over 500. Cubs struggling. They lose again last night. You get Hunter Green back here. Let's see what the kid looks like the rest of the way. But all of a sudden, Jensen, I mean, I think we think this team can hit. And now if you get some frontline starting pitching and you do get Green back and he's still the same Hunter Green, I think you have to like the Reds' prospects going forward.
Yeah, we talked about make the playoff price. And at the moment, when you look at where the Reds are, you know, just overall, it's pretty advantageous. And I think you and I kind of workshopped out, too. Would you rather have that? Would you rather have, you know, a flyer on them to win the National League? Right now, Dave, plus 340 on the yes for the Reds to make the postseason.
Like that price a lot.
But could you jump in on a 12 to 1 for the National League Central, or would you rather go for the big boy and have at least a 50 to 1 National League pennant future?
I mean, I will admit I have a 45 to 1 for the Reds to win the pennant. So I feel like I'm covered there. You know, this is a team that I've got some layered plays on. I actually do like that playoff prop, though, because it kind of gives you that two-way out, right? That if the Cubs keep struggling here, if their pitching doesn't hold up to what they can do offensively. And I do think that the Reds might be a little bit more well-rounded now if you get these guys and Chase looks like this going forward. I think that that's a really fair price of plus 340 for the Reds to make the postseason. Again, I know they're looking up. They're in fourth place in their own division. That's how good now Milwaukee's been playing better baseball. The Cardinals certainly have been a revelation. But I think if you want to get in on the Reds, that's not a bad price point here at almost 350 here for the Reds to make the postseason. I kind of like that number. If you like the Celtics from a couple years ago, enjoy that championship. Not saying they can't retool. We don't know what Jason Tatum, how long he's going to be out. But the dismantling continues. Remember, Drew Holiday got dealt the day before. He's off to Portland. And now Kristaps Porzingis is going down to the ATL in a three-team deal. So, again, you see exactly what the front office is doing. I don't think anybody's hiding this here. So Brooklyn's going to get Atlanta's first-round pick, that's the 22nd pick, by the way, and Terrence Mann. Boston's going to get George Niang in a second-rounder. And the Nets, by the way, now have five first-round picks tonight in the draft. So not only does the zinger in this three-team deal go, but now the Nets are going to be loaded as part of this trade here with a lot of picks. But from the Boston side, Jensen, is it kind of look like, man, I get it. It's a big-time salary dump, and we're not really expecting anything. I just wonder if you're Jaylen Brown. You go, am I next? Am I the next guy to be out of here?
I don't know who would want to take on that kind of an albatross of a contract. And, you know, we looked at it yesterday between Tatum and Brown. What is it? Upwards of $600 million that's committed just between two players in total contract value. Celtics right now, third betting option in the Eastern Conference upcoming this year at plus 550. I think it's who they are teamed with that gives me some intrigue here. The Magic and the Celtics have the same odds to win the East next year.
Oh, boy.
Cavs favorite right now, plus 260. Knicks, plus 290. You know, our Pistons idea and potentially the Sixers, you know, are kind of a bit better way to go, I think, at this point, Dave. And it is just remarkable. And a lot of this predicated to, for people that don't know, the new CBA is really going to penalize some of these franchises if they are over in certain respects. So you've got to find a way to get under, you know, a couple of those aprons, if you will, So this is certainly first and foremost, you got to try and get financially feasible again. They've been able to do that. But Dave, cannot wait to run those guys. Now starting in the backcourt, Derek White and Anfernee Simons. In the front court, Jaylen Brown, George Niang, and Luke Kornet. Go get them, C's. Can't wait to see that. Oh, boy.
Let me ask you this. With the five first-rounders that the Nets have today, would you take a 150-1 flyer and say, they're going to nail these picks, Jensen, and we got a whole new Brooklyn Nets tonight? We don't even know who they are yet. But just the fact that they've got five first-round picks tonight in the draft, it's going to be a brand-new look there in Brooklyn. I wonder if they're going to get this thing right. They better get it right. That's why they stockpile these draft picks.
Yep. I mean, D'Angelo Russell, Cam Thomas would love to get some help. The big man, Clacks down low. And we'll see if Cam Johnson can get some help help in the front court as well.
Got to let the kids play. That's what it's going to be there, Brooklyn. You got a lot of kids there. So it's going to be an interesting season in the East as the upheaval continues. But there's no way I'd want any part of that Celtics price right now, as you mentioned here. Fourth betting choice, plus 550. And then the demarcation line to the Sixers, ironically, at 10-1, I'm with you on the Pistons. That feels like the best price point there, 16-1. We don't know what the Bucks are going to do with Giannis at 18-1, and we know about the Pacers and their issues with Tyrese Halliburton. I don't know his status, but does not look good for next year, that's for sure. Does it look good for some of the signal callers in the NFL next year? And maybe which guys are going to lead the league in yards, some other individual honors out there that you can certainly wager on. We'll get to all of that as we talk some NFL next year on VSiN by the Books. Much more baseball talk coming up in the next segment with the Daily Diamond. Cannot wait to see what you've cooked up today. But Jensen, were you on fire yesterday or what with some of those selections that you had the Daily Diamond with Wednesday as well? So really, really good stuff to you. I know we got some tweets out there last night saying, do you charge commission? How is that working so far with those baseball picks?
VSiN Pro subscriber additions will do just fine.
There you go.
Put in a good word that you watch us and that's why you're a subscriber. And I think that takes care of it.
It's why we do what we do, baby. So we appreciate everybody watching and listening out there. We'll get to those baseball picks here in a second. NFL futures, though, if you want to get in on some of these markets, again, these are not speculative markets. And that's why, to me, Jensen, they're much more playable. You and I talk about it all the time, trying to get in the heads of voters. Well, this you don't have to. You just have to get in the heads of what you think is going to happen with the passing yards leader here in the NFL. Now, Joey Bean, I don't want to tip my hand because the NFL betting guide is coming out next week. I will say I like this offense. Let's put it that way with the Bengals this year, and I think you're going to pick up what I'm putting down. Joey B is the favorite to lead the league in passing yards, and I think you can understand why. He's 5-1. Now, look at I like to call him Super Dak. When Super Dak is super, the Cowboys don't lose. When he's average Dak, they normally lose. Plus 850 to have the second most, or to have the, to lead the league in passing yards, your second betting choice. Patrick Mahomes at single digits at plus 950. Not sure I can get there. You see Goff, revamped offensive line, new offensive coordinator, 11-1. Same thing for Baker, but Baker has a new offensive coordinator, it feels like every year, 12-1. Purdy, 13-1. CJ, 14. Josh Allen, 15. Matthew Stafford, 16. And then Jordan Love, 20-1. If you are listening here at either watching or listening at VSiN.com and or on SiriusXM channel 158. Jensen, when you look at those numbers, would you play anybody in the single digits or would you look to double digits and beyond?
Yeah, probably double dip, although I do like where your head's at with Burrow.
Yeah.
Couple of the names that I wrote down here, I circled Jared Goff and I circled Baker Mayfield. And just knowing the receiving core that Baker, and hey, we know he's not shy whatsoever about teeing it up and letting it rip. So just a tick over 4,000 yards last year. We all remember him force feeding Mike Evans to get to that milestone for him. And that was really cool. Again, as a former player, you know, you get to end of seasons, you know what some of the incentives are. And so that was really fun to watch it in real time because everyone knew where the ball was going, but he still got it there, got it done. Chris Godwin back there again. And you think about just the 61% pass rate, I think, for the Bucs last year. Of course, one of the highest in the National Football League. Let me throw a couple names back to you for your ideas here. Mm-hmm. With Stroud getting some reinforcements also in Houston, Jordan Love is intriguing at 20-1 just because we've talked about it at length. If he doesn't have that wide receiver room just decimated at the end of the year, you wonder how they finish, you know, not only the regular season, but into the postseason. You know, what dominance could they have had through the air, regardless of the weather conditions? That to me is a unique kind of dark horse pick. If you like him and you think that group, and Matthew Golden stepping in there,
yeah,
you know, getting the healthy guys and Watson and Dobbs back. So anxious to see kind of, you know, what that looks like.
You know, I really like their offense, Green Bay specifically, in that they are pretty balanced, right? That we know how much they like to run Josh Jacobs as well. But what I mean by that is, like, I think they can do so many different things offensively because their offensive line is pretty darn solid. They do have a solid running game. So I feel like they kind of spread it out and they don't get one dimensional. I'm looking back at Tampa at your Baker Mayfield idea at 12-1. Now, Josh Grizzard's going to be taking over as the new offensive coordinator for Liam Cohen. But really, Josh was implementing this kind of pass-happy offense. Like, the Buccaneers tried to run it, but unlike Green Bay, they didn't have the same type of success. I know they had some. Bucky Irving last year got a little bit going with Tucker as well. But I kind of look at that and I go, that's their identity. Like, they want to throw the football a lot, it feels like to me. So I kind of like that play a little bit better for the Buccaneers at 12-1. Again, you got to hope that Mike Evans can stay healthy. That's been more of an issue as he's getting a little bit older. And certainly getting Godwin back off another devastating leg injury. Your hope that he's going to be able to go. But they keep drafting that position too, right? McMillan came in last year from UW, and they get another receiver. Like, they just keep going back to this position. So I kind of like that 12-1 if you wanted to take a flyer on a double-digit shot. Not going to get mad at you there. Joey B is the obvious choice here. I do wonder, Jensen, if they say, Cincinnati says, we're not going to be as successful as a team if Burrow cashes his ticket for you. Like, this would be the weird kind of paradox that if they want to be more successful, more balanced, they've got to find a running game, and that would keep their poorest defense off the field. So it's almost counterintuitive that if the Bengals want to possibly win the division, then Burrow might not need to cash his ticket for you. You see what I'm saying? That they try to get more balance. Because last year they were so unbalanced, that's why Burrow won Comeback Player of the Year, because they just lit it up with his arm.
At one point, their little short passing game to Chase Brown outside of the backfield was an extension of their run game. And they did the same thing with, you know, Zach Moss. You get some Samaje Perine, you know, back here.
Yep.
Now the confidence, too, that Burrow has with Yoshivas as the third option. Gesicki actually took a nice step forward
last year
in the red zone. I mean, it's at least five weapons to throw the ball to. This is like street ball, man. Just get him in shotgun and let's see what he can do.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Even if you try to run the football, if you're not successful at it, you know what the faithful in the natty are going to say. Let Joey B. cook. Just let him throw it. That's
let
what
it
he
eat.
Does, right?
Yep.
Then you got to worry about the injuries, which Joey B. has had in the last couple of years as well. So a lot of tentacles there. But again, we understand why is the short number. I just like your Baker idea at 12-1. That's probably where I'd look for a little bit better value. What about now when you look at the next individual award that you can basically bet on and certainly weigh in on is the rushing leaders. Saquon, you can understand this, but what is interesting to me is look at the age of the guys leading this board. Saquon at plus 275, the King at 4-1 in Baltimore, Derrick Henry. Even Jonathan Taylor at CMC, these are older running backs now that have had issues staying healthy. So Bijan jumps off the page to me at 11-1 as the younger back here, third year in the league. Even a Kyren Williams at 25-1, if he doesn't fumble it, the Rams like to use that. Sean McVay's much more conservative than people actually think offensively. And then we mentioned Bucky Irving there. I don't know that that's going to be in play because their identity is still going to be to throw the football. But what do you think of the aging guys? I don't want to back Saquon at plus 275 as the shortest shot on the board.
You're just asking to get anywhere near the production from last year, and I think that is a tall task. And that's all due respect to Saquon, because I think you ask him, of course, he thinks he can do it. The King, as we know, you know, a potential split here with Lamar Jackson, and just, you know, the opportunities there. And of course, I hate to say, he's 31. I remember those days, and I was moving around like a spring chicken. But this dude, you know, talk about a guy who invests a boatload of money in his diet and his upkeep. The King is going to be around for sure. Couple, again, double-digit names that stuck out to me. I don't really want anything to do with Jahmyr Gibbs, just because he and David Montgomery, you know, the carry split there, just it doesn't behoove us to get that. If Anthony Richardson does end up being the starting quarterback, do the design runs for him end up taking away potential carries for Jonathan Taylor? If the Colts are behind a lot, we're not getting as many carries for them having to play catch-up. It's really the young cats. Ashton Jeanty at 18-1. I get it. He's a rookie. What do we know? What does Pete Carroll want to do?
My goodness.
What does Pete Carroll want to do? He wants to run the football. Bucky Irving. I don't know if we can get on board with that, just because of our previous conversation about what Baker wants to do through the air. But Jeanty was the one that stuck out to me from a, what are we designed to do? What are we good at? And what is Pete Carroll's MO ever since he got into the National Football League? So at 18-1, maybe worth a flyer.
Oh, absolutely. That's where my head went as well. And again, I do like Bijan at 11-1 too. If Michael Penix in a second year, it looks like they've got some weapons now, but I think you would want to, if they're going to have, and I think they do have visions of winning that division, I think that's going to be predicated on a Bijan run game first, Penix second. But you're Jeanty at 18-1. Oh, Pete Carroll is going to run that kid and run him some more. So that would definitely be in play. And again, the Josh Jacobs at 20-1, because they do have a good offensive line, because they can threaten you in the outside and kind of soften you up in the middle with Jacobs, that might not be a bad play as well at 20-1. Because once they get him rolling in cold weather, they like to rely on him. And he really came through big time last year in Green Bay. Time is running out, by the way, people. Right now, you can enter to win a free entry in a Circa Survivor or Circa Millions, the contest proxy service, and it's included in this. 21 million in guaranteed prizes are up for grabs. So the deadline to enter is tonight, 11:59, to the minute Eastern time. Once it hits clock hits zero at midnight, it's off the board. Winners will be announced live this Friday on A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander, and they're going to get exclusive strategy access to Gil all season long. So go to winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN to enter right now. That is winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN.
You're tuned in to VSIN by the Books right here on VSIN.
I mean, I don't want to get into all of the wins that you had yesterday, Jensen, but I know you were on the over in the Tigers game. That was never a sweat. 11-4 is the final there. You were in the Blue Jays. They beat the Guardians yesterday. 10-6 was that winner. You were on the, I think the Reds and Yankees even got you a push on that total, right? With the three runs that you get to nine. So you get that push as well. So one of those really, really good days there on the Daily Diamond. So without further ado, let's make it two in a row with today's edition. I mean, if you didn't know who the big Dempa was before, I think everybody knows now, Jensen. How good is this guy?
Cal is really good. All right, I'll show myself out. All right, so we have a legit, we have a race.
We do.
In the most valuable player for the American League. And, you know, at one point, Dave, we did this show, and Aaron Judge was a $60 favorite. He's kind of come back to the pack a little bit, and the big Dempa is the reason why. So some intriguing futures markets here. And now that Cal Raleigh is off to a pretty historic start, right now they have a prop at DraftKings. Will Cal Raleigh hit over or under 62.5 home runs?
My
the over
goodness.
Is plus 650. Okay. He's got 32 right now. All right. So he's over halfway there. Just putting it out there with still a handful of games to go before the actual halfway point. Can he get there? If he will set the single season home run record of 74. That's 70-1. And if he will lead Major League Baseball in home runs for the regular season, this one via FanDuel, plus $1.20. Of course, Aaron Judge is the top betting option at plus $1.05. Any of those intrigue you for the
wow.
Big Dumper?
Well, you know, I'm looking at you got J-Rod hitting in front of him. Rosarena's hitting behind him. So I guess you can make the case. I mean, this guy's not exactly lighting it up. 252 for J-Rod, 237 for Randy. But you have semblance of protection in the lineup here, Jensen? Because at some point, my question will be, does he get the Aaron Judge treatment? Do you not full Judge, right? You're not going to go full what's not pitched to this guy down the stretch in a pennant race. And anybody else, whether it's going to be J-Rod or whether it's going to be Randy, somebody else got to beat me. It can't be Cal. I wonder if we get to that point if you're playing Seattle down the stretch with meaningful baseball in September.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a good question. Right now, Jorge Polanco is your guy that has been mostly hitting behind him in the fourth spot. If you move up Rosarena and he continues to really catch fire, that's a very formidable 1-4 for the body of work that J.P. Crawford and J-Rod have had. So we don't call him Trader Jerry for nothing. Jerry DePoto, president of baseball ops, general manager in Seattle. You know he's going to be working the phones. They're going to be in the market for at least another bat.
Oh,
so,
man.
Anxious to see what they do.
Then that's where I'd like that over 62.5 at plus 650. If you get more real protection in that lineup, if he hits 74 or more, then just give him the MVP. Right? I mean, you get 70-1 right now that he goes, yeah, 70. Oh my God. I can't even believe we're saying this with Cal Raleigh, but that's how good he's been to your point here, Jensen, at the beginning of the year. Did you see this coming? Did you see a 60-plus home run season coming out of this guy?
No, and I mean, the easy answer, I think I said, I'm going to bring it up in our Loud Outs text, Sirius Channel 89, LV Network Radio. Here are the rankings for catcher home runs. But remember, Cal Raleigh's a switch hitter.
Right.
So they did the list, Cal Raleigh hitting left-handed homers this year, Cal Raleigh hitting right-handed homers. You ready for this? So he leads all catchers. Just by hitting from the left side, 21, he has 21 left-handed home runs. The next best guy is Logan Ohapi from the Angels, who has 17. Hunter Goodman from the Rockies has 14. And then Cal Raleigh hitting right-handed is tied for fourth with Austin Wells with 11.
Unbelievable.
Just to give you perspective on how absurd this offensive power season has been for him overall.
Do you like that, the smaller price point, that he leads the bigs in homers? Now, look, I'd worry about a Pete Alonso heating up or some other guys. Certainly Judge is going to be in that mix, too, at plus $1.20. Is that a better price point, or would you take one of those longer shots? Because, again, if he gets over 62.5, he's clearly in the MVP race. If he hits 74 or more, he's going to win it.
I would rather have, I think, the plus $1.20 in pocket. I think that's the way I would go. And, you know, just for you and I, you know, we're very inundated with the great home run race in the late 90s with Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire. And I would love nothing more than to see a catcher challenge Barry Bonds for the single season home run record. That would be something to behold.
This is historic, and it keeps up this pace. We're going to be talking a lot more Cal Raleigh here down the stretch they come in September. What about what you have is we get to Wednesday here and something right there smack dab in the middle of the work week. What do you have?
All right. So in football season, it's usually the Maction that we get on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. But in baseball, we do have some midweek mashers. These are hitter statistics for games just played on Wednesdays this year, Dave. All right. Byron Buxton, fan favorite there for our esteemed producer, Brandon Valesky, 5 homers on Wednesdays. That leads Major League Baseball. Great friend of the program, Teoscar Hernandez, 14 runs batted in on Wednesdays, most in MLB. The Polar Bear and the man they call J-Ram here in Northeast Ohio, 6 doubles apiece, tied for most in Major League Baseball on Wednesday. So let's just go this way. Buxton, 2 or more total bases, minus $1.10. Teo to get an RBI is even money right now on DraftKings. And then a Pete Alonso, Jose Ramirez to record a hit parlay is right around even money, maybe minus $1.01 if you build it out here. So just some guys that for whatever reason on Wednesdays, they swing it really well.
Yeah, Metropolitan is going to need the Polar Bear to help pick up this struggling offense here for the Metropolitans as they lose again yesterday. Yeah, Buxton's interesting in the Twins. Another loss yesterday. Sorry, Brandon. 6-5. They did rally and then still come up short. What do you make of the Twins now? And obviously you're going to exercise the manager. Soroka's not going anywhere. Like, I wonder if some of these guys, not a Buxton, I know he's kind of beloved, but like, I wonder if they're going to maybe look to move some of these guys before the trade deadline.
And again, every time we say this, they find a way to, you know, make you believe again. And this is going to go back, Dave, as I pull up the actual wild card standings here. And remember, we talked about the American League. It is just so even at the moment, even with the loss, and they've lost five in a row.
Mm-hmm.
We said the same exercise with the Braves, right? You got to get back to 500 before you can really start to make some hay. So they're five games under, but they're only 4.5 out of a playoff spot. And you have, I think, six teams chasing Seattle right now that are within 4.5 games. So we will reevaluate this race probably right after the All-Star break, because then we'll probably get a semblance, at least some news coming out. That usually happens at the Midsummer Classic, where you start to get some rumors about who may be available and who may be moving on.
Well, my team in that division is going nowhere fast. That's the Kansas City Royals, that's for sure. What is your favorite day, my friend?
My favorite day is Wednesday. Any day that we win, and it just so happens, I know, a dad joke.
It's a great
day.
Accent. Fake accents are
Wednesday.
In, baby.
All right. We went the team angle this time. All right. On Wednesdays, the team that has hit the most home runs, no shock here, it's the LA Dodgers, and they are in Colorado, so we're excited about that. 24 homers as a team. That leads Major League Baseball. The team that has hit the most doubles, there's actually two, the Athletics and the Giants. So Bay Area repping for extra base hits here. 24 doubles apiece, tied for the most in Major League Baseball. And the Yankees, if you were looking for some relief from the heat, plenty of free air conditioning from the Yankee lineup on Wednesdays. 132 team strikeouts. That leads all of baseball. Here's what we did. Athletics going up against a tough customer in Jack Flaherty. So we stayed away from the Athletics. We are going to go with the Dodgers team total over 6.5. That's at $1.35 on DraftKings. And then let's take Brady Singer to have five or more strikeouts. Singer getting start for the Reds, going for the sweep. Did I say it out loud?
How about that?
Sweep over the Yankees. Whoa, five strikeouts at $1.45.
Again, don't look now. You can look, Cincinnati, playing so much better baseball. I know they lost two out of three to St. Louis. Past that, I think they had won four of their last five series. So they're really starting to put together week in, week out, winning two or three, getting an occasional sweep here, going for that sweep today against the Yankees. I think this is kind of bonus money a little bit right now that they're playing a little house money. If you get the sweep of the Yanks, Jensen, at home, I got to think if you're the Reds, you start to go, even without – we're doing this without our ace, Hunter Green.
Yes.
That's the most impressive part about this stretch here. So, Brady Singer, let's get it done today. Get those over Ks in that price market there. ProfitX is offering the best odds on baseball all season long. It is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40 or more states, the first of its kind in the United States. So you're going to be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against the other books out there. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today. Use the code VSIN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your very first month. All right, when we come back, I do want to get into some college football here. And boy, I'm just glad my buddy Bryant McFadden is not on yet. We'll get BMAC on at some point to talk some Florida State. But can they get excited down there in Tallahassee this season? We'll discuss when you come back with us right here, VSiN by the Books. Back VSiN by the Books, Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here on this Wednesday on August 30th. We're going to have I hope it's a big time football game. It's going to be Florida State taking on Alabama. And when you look at this thing here, and Florida State has kind of been down a little bit. I got some good peeps that went to Florida State, played at Florida State. So I don't like to kick them too much when they're down, Jensen, because you just don't know how long they're going to be down. So when you look at Florida State now, and Thomas Castellanos is their young signal caller, he's brimming with confidence, shall we say. Jensen, this is what he had to say about the ACC, and I quote, "I feel like I tore up the ACC by my damn self the last 2 years, and now I'm with a squad. I don't know if they know, but go back and watch every first game I played. We always start fast. I dreamed of playing Alabama. They don't have Nick Saban to save them. I just don't see them stopping me." Oh, do I love this, Thomas.
Oh.
Now, I have to assume that Alabama loves this too. And you put this stuff out there in June, you know how this works. It is going to be fodder. It is going to be bulletin board material. And you know Alabama's defense is going to try to make him eat his words. What do you make of Thomas's comments? Is this too much confidence, too much bravado, or is this what you want in your quarterback?
I want it behind closed doors, in the weight room, in the film room, and, you know, before we get practice started. That's where I want it. I hate to break it to him, but Thomas, Boston College not carrying the weight that it did many, many moons ago, my friend. So you have stepped up not only in weight class, but traditionally you don't call out arguably the most storied program of the modern era in college football, especially when you're a double-digit dog. Kalen DeBoer is probably just like,
oh, he's licking his chops.
Leave no doubt. I don't want him to gain another yard. I think I could see a little extra from the Crimson Tide. As far as if this game is definitely in hand, they may run this one up if they have the opportunity to.
Okay, if I could play devil's advocate here for a second, DeBoer is not Nick Saban, right? So, by the way, shots fired right from the quarterback to the head coach. I mean, if I'm DeBoer, yeah, I take that personally, right? Like, you're invoking the guy, my predecessor, as, well, that guy, yeah, maybe I couldn't beat him. But the new guy you got, the guy from Washington, yeah, oh, we can beat DeBoer because Saban can't. Like, I would take that semi-personally. If I'm the players, I want to play for my coach, and I want to prove that, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Nick's not walking through that door. We close that chapter. We're on a year two post-Saban. So this is a new Alabama Crimson Tide, 12.5-point favorite to beat Florida State in this one. But if we're being honest, too, he was really good at Boston College. Like, he really was. So did he tear up the ACC? Debatable, but he was very good in the league. And now he's basically throwing shots at his old guys, saying, yeah, I was great. I didn't have a squad. Now I got a squad down here in Tallahassee. So now I'm going to be great with other greatness around me. Is this isn't Bobby Bowden. This isn't that iteration of Florida State. That's for sure. But does the kid have something? Is he on to something that maybe Florida State is going to be back in the mix here? And I don't know if it's just the ACC, but it's the way he's talking. It's like national prominence that the good days of Florida State are coming back.
I appreciate, you know, what he's trying to do and trying to elevate back. But I do think you're asking for a lot more stress and a lot more pressure than you really need. I mean, if nothing else, you know, for their schedule, if you beat Alabama, you will get all the attention, you know, that you possibly could want. The rest of their opening schedule, at least through September, are very winnable games. You know, you have East Texas A&M, Texas A&M, Kent State. You're going to go to Virginia, which, all right.
Well, you better be 3-1. If you're playing over 6.5, you better be 3-1 after that stretch, right?
Yeah, yeah. And as far as, you know, his comments go, it's not like Alabama is just going to hold on to that. You know, all those other ACC teams, that they're going to play in conference are going to hold on to that too. So you're just riling everything up. And I get it. Young people, you know, want to kind of pop their chests out there, but like, yeah, let your offense kind of do the talking, man. And then if you beat Alabama soundly, come out and say,
oh my God,
hey, we thought we were the better team all off season. It was our motivation. And then you could probably put out there, hey, it's not the same without Nick. If you were going to time it, Dave,
ooh,
I would have waited till you beat Alabama maybe by 10 or 14 and then say, It's not the same without Nicky Saban coaching. All right, okay, then there you go.
If Castellanos is right, that means Mike Norvell is right. And this is his third year now at the helm there at Florida State. I know that there had been whispers about whether or not his job potentially could be in trouble. I will say this. If you're looking just from the offensive side of the production side, it's been pretty good. Norvell, by the way, is averaging 37.7 points running that offense there at Tallahassee. And again, that's the third highest average in the country among head coaches active each year from 2016 to 2021. So, you know, I'm looking at it now and you go, what, 5 years in now? So he's done a pretty good job with this offense. At least that's why he got the job many moons ago. What do you make of Norvell and whether or not this is going to be sustainable to have these high offensive outputs here against, I don't know how good the ACC is, but it feels like against gettable teams, right? That Miami, they're good offensively, but are they good defensively? I don't think so. Pittsburgh, not great defensively. Stanford, like, you should be able to put up some numbers against some of these ACC schools.
And again, we'll never know what that 23 team could have looked like with Jordan Travis, because right. I think all of us wish that we could have seen them in the postseason and really with an opportunity to try and play deep into it. Hey, life is better without DJ Uiagalelei, perhaps. We shall see. Okay, he only threw for a little over 1,000 yards last year. So, hey, if Thomas Castellanos can improve on that, yes, Florida State has a much better chance to compete.
Do you think this will last 5 years, you say, for Norvell, if you don't get it done this year and you're not back to the elite of the ACC? No disrespect, but it's not the SEC. This is not the Big Ten. This is kind of a down conference in the last couple of years. And if you're not competitive this year in that framework, I wonder if Norvell, if this would be the last year he's there down there in Tallahassee.
Okay, and I'll answer your question with a query as well. Who do you have to finish above? I mean, SMU is going to be good again. We know Clemson is going to be good. Miami, you know, replacing Cam Ward, always a challenge. Your Syracuse Orange will probably be heard from here. Louisville, always a tough out. You know, who do you have to finish ahead of there? I mean, right now, the teams that were 5-3 in the ACC last year, Syracuse, Louisville, Georgia Tech, and Duke. I would say if you can't finish ahead of Duke and Georgia Tech, oh boy, we got problems. I mean, the way that Louisville and even Syracuse have elevated their programs, you could say, all right, you know, those teams are in contention. I mean, Syracuse won 10 games last year, of course, with Common Court. But I would say that you would have to be in that number three or four spot next couple of years at minimum. If Mike Norvell is sticking around.
If Castellanos in all this bravado talk, even if it doesn't manifest itself into a win August 30th as 12.5-point dogs against Bama, you better believe that game against Clemson, certainly the Miami game early, is going to resonate too. And even the one at the end of the year, non-conference against Florida. Like those, those are the Norvell, does he stay, does he go games, right? Like I think the interstate games against Miami and Florida are still massive for recruiting. And then the Clemson game would signify whether or not they're truly back in the ACC. Because as we mentioned yesterday in the program, Clemson, you got to lay a little bit for Clemson to make the college football playoff. So I don't know if we're ready to put Florida State on that level, Jensen. But I feel like if we're looking at the future of this program, and certainly with a transfer quarterback coming in, if they have visions of grandeur, they've got to win at least two of those games, Miami, Florida, and Clemson, right?
100%. And, you know, Florida, the way that they're hoping their season goes this year, I mean, you could be playing for playoff positioning in that final game. As much as we hear in a lot here in these parts, Ohio State, it's not a successful season if you don't beat the team up north. You know, in Mississippi, the Egg Bowl is about as big as it gets, the Iron Bowl in Alabama. You know, for Florida, if you're a Seminole fan, like you got to reestablish prominence because Florida and Miami both ahead of you in the pecking order at this point.
I like the bravado, kid. Let's see you back it up. Am I taking the 12.5 against Alabama? I don't know.
Nope.
I'm not. Nope. I'm not there. Let's see if Caleb DeBoer has got a little bit of a backbone too. And he's like, hey, what'd you say about me, kid? You know, I coached in the national championship. Right now, if you want to bet smarter, you can do so with Smarter Insights. You can check out at VSiN.com. Greg Peterson's got his Major League Baseball best bets. Zachary Cohen's got his draft betting primer for the NBA tonight. Wes Reynolds, the Rocket Classic. We're going to have Wes on the program later. So you can do all of this right now. UFC picks galore, $9.99 when you go to VSiN.com/subscribe.